Howdy, everybody. It's Arthur Staple. This is No Sleep Till Belmont, a bonus edition after the end of the Islanders season. Game 7 just ended a little while ago, a 1-0 loss to the Lightning in Tampa. The semifinals are over. The Islanders lose 4-3, and it's Tampa and Montreal in the Stanley Cup Finals starting in a couple of days. That was an emotional post-game, I think. Even sitting and watching it on Zoom, seeing Matthew Barzal choke up while trying to talk about the veterans on the team that he'd hoped to win for. Josh Bailey looking like he'd rather be anywhere else than having to talk to us, but kudos to him for coming out. And Barry Trotz speaking about the special group that he coached, and he's talked about it a lot, and I think tonight in that postgame showed what he was talking about, that even though this was a team that clearly had some flaws and clearly was, at times the second best team on the ice in this series, certainly skill-wise, they were one goal away. One small breakdown on a power play where Yanni Gord was able to slip in off the bench, and the Islanders playing their first power play unit, which only has one defenseman. Nick Leddy was in the corner. Josh Bailey went to the corner on Anthony Cirelli. Nick Kyle Palmieri was a little bit unsure of where he needed to be when Gord came steaming off the bench. Pucks in the net, and that's it. Watching the Lightning really clog up the shooting lanes and foil the Islanders' zone entries and passes across the top of the zone and at the blue line, it looked very much like an Islander game where they were trying to preserve a lead. And, I think when we have talked with AJ on the podcast a lot about the Islanders being called boring. I think you can show them, if somebody says that to you as an Islander fan, well, they're boring. Just show them a little clip of the Lightning getting in shooting lanes and chipping pucks out and being very content to hold on to a one-goal lead in that third period, not attacking at all, and say, okay, well, nobody calls the Lightning boring, but that's how they won Game 7. So, anyway, hard to evaluate the whole series right now. Seeing as that the difference was, like I said, that shorthanded goal and the Islanders' inability to really get anything going, on seeing my mentions on Twitter after posting a few quotes and fans venting their frustration about not seeing Oliver Wahlstrom at all this series, certainly valid. You know, he was a dynamic player in his first full NHL season this year. Had a decent impact in the Penguin series before he got hurt. Seemed to be at full health by the end of the Bruins series, but Barry Trotz preferred Travis Zajac. And I think the problem with that Zajac, Palmieri, JG Pageau line as this Tampa series wore on was clearly Pageau was severely compromised. He was not even, half the player impact-wise that he was earlier in the playoffs. So that line as a checking line was really limited to just trying to chip pucks out. They weren't able to generate much zone time. There wasn't a lot of jump for Pageau. Zajac and Palmieri. Palmieri was really fighting it seemed this whole series after scoring 7 goals in the first 12 games of the playoffs. He had none against the Lightning, and he had a lot of good chances, a lot of good looks. So that line, I think, could have used a little bit of a boost. There's no two ways about it. And Wahlstrom probably going in for Zajac was really the move. Trotz went to Palmieri with Barzal and Eberle, pretty much past the 5-minute mark of the third period in Game 7 tonight, and too little too late, I guess, to make that switch that he had made a couple games earlier to some success. So that's really the only difference. I think now and Trotz talked about it, you can feel the absence of Anders Lee even more with this series, and I think, seeing some of the clips that the Islanders posted of Lee reading the opening lineups and smacking the door of the locker room to really get things charged up. He's a great leader, and it makes it all the more frustrating that he was sidelined this whole postseason. It's the second time in his NHL career that he's missed a decent postseason run. 2016, he was out with a broken leg and could have had an impact in that Tampa series as well. So I imagine you're going to see a very determined Anders Lee coming back off of this ACL injury when he's able to get back into it in training camp. Other standouts to me in this series, obviously Semyon Varlamov really shook off his unfortunate first period in Game 5. He was the only reason it was a one-goal game in Game 7. He was superb, really top of his crease a lot, challenging shooters, you know, swallowing up pucks, seeing a lot of shots, got a few good shot blocks in the first period when Lightning were really putting it to the Islanders. But really that was Varlamov's show. And, you know, you start to spin it a little bit forward and think about the off season, which is unfortunately coming up very quickly. The expansion draft is just in 3 weeks from today, from tomorrow, I guess, from Saturday. And the Islanders do have some decisions to make. I don't know that they're going to be that impactful at the expansion draft, but I think all off season, which AJ and I'll get into in a few days when we record our usual spot for probably the last regular show of the off season. Anthony Beauvillier is a restricted free agent. Adam Pellick, who was every bit the equal of Victor Hedman and Ryan McDonagh in this series, is too bad there's not two Adam Pellicks, because that's essentially what Tampa has in Hedman and McDonagh and even Mikhail Sergachev, who didn't have as big an impact in this series. But those other two guys, McDonagh especially, looked like vintage New York Rangers Ryan McDonagh, which was unfortunate for the Islanders. He was blocking a lot of shots, made the play to start to cut off a pass to start the play in motion that set up the winning goal on the Lightning penalty kill. But Adam Pellick is a restricted free agent, is going to make a lot of money this offseason. And Elias Sorokin is a restricted free agent, and you're going to obviously keep him around. So some decisions to be made. The cap is the Islanders are, again, very tight to the cap already as we start to look forward. But I think we'll just focus for now on this series and you know, what transpired in the last couple of days. Game 6, you know, Beauvillier scoring the winner. The Islanders looked like they were dead in the water after misfiring on their 5-on-3. And then Tampa taking a 2-0 lead. But there were still a few ghosts lurking around that old Coliseum, and the Islanders came back. Matthew Barzal kind of put them on his shoulders and really generated a lot, got some goals. Jordan Eberle hadn't scored in a while. Scott Mayfield scored a beautiful goal in the third to tie it, and then Beauvillier with the winner. And the beer can shower came, and I know there was plenty of hand-wringing about that, but, you know, that's... Seeing the noisemakers on the ice in Tampa after Game 7 made me think that it's just, you know, people are happy to be back in buildings. And I think the Islander fans didn't know what else to do with themselves. They weren't going to pull the seats out of the concrete, knowing that there might be a chance that they could need them for the Stanley Cup final. But it was still quite a sight. I didn't think it was quite as dangerous as people were making it out to be, since most of those beer cans are probably mostly empty. But it was quite a scene, you know, to think that the last two playoff games, because we don't know what's going to happen next season with UBS Arena, whether it'll be ready in time and whether they'll have to play a couple games or a preseason game or whatever at the Coliseum. But these are pretty assuredly the last two playoff games we're ever going to see at the Coliseum. And to think that the lasting images of those two games will be Ryan Pulock making one of the more remarkable defensive plays you'll ever see, and Anthony Beauvillier scoring an overtime winner to send the place out the way that he did. Those are special moments. You know, they're not Stanley Cup moments like the Dynasty guys had, but they're about as close as you can get. You know, to think that the place can finish on a winning note is something to say. You know, it did the last time it closed in 2015, and obviously that series didn't end the way the Islanders wanted it to against Barry Trotz's Capitals in that first round. But it's I think it means something to have those last two games, and certainly all the fans that I saw at those games and talked to will remember it pretty fondly and be able to feel like, you know, even though the Islanders didn't get back to the Stanley Cup final, this was something to hold their heads up high about, and certainly the players as well. And as far as, you know, what Barry Trotz talked about tonight, the character of his group, he said it a lot, and sometimes it kind of goes in one ear out the other when you've heard it a lot, whether it's in the regular season or when their backs are against the wall in the playoffs. But I think it means a lot more to think about it now in the context of seeing how upset the players were, seeing how, you know, hearing how painful it is. You know, Barry Trotz had said after the Game 6 overtime loss in the bubble to the Lightning, that one was going to stay with him to his grave. And I can only imagine what this Game 7 loss will do to him, you know, will stay with him as well. And I think, when you think about the anniversary of his hiring is just past the 3-year mark, and what they've been able to accomplish, especially the last 2 years that have been impacted by COVID and playing in the bubble, and then this year with mostly no fans, and then suddenly the last game at the Coliseum is as full and as loud as it's ever been. It's a lot, and you have to have a lot of good, you know, a really good foundation and good character. All those cliches that Barry likes to talk about, and you know, Garth Snow used to talk about those too, and they were important to him. You know, Garth was always a guy who looked up to Lou Lamoriello and tried to run his team the same way. There were a lot of factors that went into why it wasn't, the results didn't come out the same way, because there's only one Lou Lamoriello who can run his team like that. And I think, you know, Lou coming in and setting a foundation of professionalism and a business-like attitude, and hiring Barry Trotz to kind of put a real family style touch on it. You know, Barry Trotz has a personal touch to him. That's a gift that not that many people have, to be so comfortable with yourself that you can also make everybody else feel comfortable in a high pressure situation like pro sports and in the NHL. It's a reason why he's beloved by guys that haven't played for him in 20 years. So, and I think you can even see it in the, you know, when he's shaking hands, whether win or lose, he wants to make sure that he has that personal touch where he's looking guys in the eyes, guys who haven't played for him, maybe, who he's only played against, you know, coached against. He makes sure that they know how he feels about them and how much respect he has for them. And that goes double or triple for the guys in his own room. So the foundation that the Islanders front office and coaching staff has laid can't be discounted. You know, there's going to be a lot of changes this offseason. It seems it would be very difficult to bring back much of the same group, whether it's thinking about Casey Cizikas leaving in free agency because they can't afford him, Kyle Palmieri, who, like we said, shut down in the Lightning series, but certainly earned his way into a lot of Islander fan hearts with the way that he played in the first two rounds. You know, those are guys that they might not be able to afford. They, you know, the expansion draft, like I said, is coming up in about, they have to have their list in 3 weeks. A few days after that is the expansion draft. Will they lose a guy like Nick Leddy? Will they expose a forward like Jordan Eberle to try to get out from under those contracts? The team is going to look a little different next year. It could be a good thing because you could see more prominent roles for guys like Noah Dobson, Oliver Wahlstrom, maybe even a guy like Otto Koivula or Kiefer Bellows, to round out a forward group that's good, but also going to be very expensive. If they lose Nick Leddy, who goes in that second D pair? Does Andy Green decide to retire? Do you need another third pair guy? Do you see a guy like Samuel Bolduc make a big leap after a very short first pro season in the AHL? A lot of those questions will eventually be answered. They may not be answered the way that the fans wanted, it certainly didn't happen that way last offseason when Lamoriello decided to trade Devon Taves, who was a good young player on defense, and Nick Leddy needed to step forward. And he did for the most part this season. He looked a little bit like JG Pageau. I think by the end, he looked a little compromised. He had a decent third period in game seven, but he didn't seem like himself for much of this postseason. So, but I think ultimately you trust what the foundation that they've put down, and that's going to serve them well in this offseason. Even if there's some changes that a lot of the fans don't want to see, one of those restricted free agents, I would imagine that the only guy that they can afford to lose is Anthony Beauvillier. And even at that, that would be a tough one to give up. But if it is that big a change, the fans will be upset, but I think you kind of still have to have faith in what they put together here in just a short time. Only 3 years since, they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. John Tavares left. New guys came in. I think a lot of people still haven't, around the NHL, still haven't quite given this team their due. And I think after getting even closer to a Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row, I think Scott Mayfield said it best. You get to the Final Four back-to-back years, it's no fluke. And, I think Vegas doing it out west and falling short, there's a lot of soul-searching out there because people assumed that they were a championship-caliber team. I don't know that there's going to be quite that same assumption about the Islanders, but the Islanders are going to do it because they feel like they belonged. So that's all we got to wrap up Game 7. I'll be back with AJ Maletsko next week with our regularly scheduled No Sleep Till Belmont recording. We'll break down the entire postseason. We'll start to look ahead to the offseason. The expansion draft, like I said, will be creeping up before you know it. After that is the regular draft. The Islanders don't have a first-round pick. And soon after that is free agency. And we'll see what happens with guys like Palmieri and Casey Zizekas. And even beyond that into August and up until training camp, whether we'll, you know, the Islanders will be able to relieve their cap crunch once again without making any drastic moves. I don't know. It's going to be tough. And, you know, the pain of tonight will sort of bleed into some anxiety, I would imagine, coming in the off season. So we'll be able to break it down with a couple of special episodes. Thanks, as always, for listening. And we'll be back with you again next week. No sleep till Belmont. This is Arthur Staple signing off after a tough Game 7. I'll talk to you soon.